Before we start today, I'd like you to watch this, please. The message today is the potter and the clay. And we're going to be looking at Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through. There is in your bulletin, there's an insert for you to take notes, if you'd like to take notes. And on the reverse side is a little exercise you could go over this week pertaining to the message today that I hope that you will take advantage of and use that during the week. Jeremiah chapter 18, starting at verse 1. The Lord gave the message to Jeremiah. He said, "Go down to the potter's shop, and I will speak to you there." So I did as he told me and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he hoped. And so he crushed it into a lump of clay again, and he started over. Then the Lord gave me this message. "O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to this clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand." Potter and the clay. I started dating my wife when she was 14 years old, and And when she was in high school, she took an art class, which if you know my wife, that's very, very funny. And this particular art class that she took, they were learning to work with clay. And actually, everything my wife started to make out of clay always turned out to be an ashtray that she would give to me. I don't know if everybody still knows what an ashtray is. I think they're collector's items these days. But I never really worked with clay myself, except that one time my wife had a project that she brought home, and I did it for her. I made a sculpture of a man's face. I think it was the only A she got in class. I'm going to kidding. Maybe I'm not only kidding. Maybe it was the only A she got in class. But it's not easy to work with clay. And I never took a class. I never worked with clay on a potter's wheel. But I do know some things about working with clay. And I know that before you even start, you have to what they call wedge it. It's kind of like when you work with dough and you had to knead dough. You got to kind of do the same thing with the clay before you can use it. You've got to, you know, really be kind of rough with it and really, you know. And what you're doing is you're trying to get out all of the air pockets that might be in that clay. You've got to try to get the air pockets out. You can't see them, but they're in there, and you got to work with it and get those out. Because if you don't get those out, what happens is that when you put it into the kiln, which is the oven to bake it and, you know, make dry it up, if you don't get all those air pockets out, sometimes the air that's left in there can make it explode. And there goes the beautiful vessel that you spent all that time making. I had a friend in school who was a fantastic artist. I knew him from first grade, and he was an artist then. It was unbelievable, the things that he could draw. He was actually good with any kind of art, whether it was drawing, painting, watercolors, working with clay. He was just incredible. And in high school, I walked into art class one day, because I took art classes, and I went into art class, and he was working with clay, and he was making the face of John Lennon. And it looked like John Lennon. I mean, I was like, this is unbelievable. That looks like John Lennon. I mean, I could work with clay, but it wouldn't look like the person I wanted it to look like, you know. But he was able to make it look like, it was fantastic. And the next time I saw him, I said, how's John Lennon doing? And he said, John Lennon exploded. When he had put it into the kiln, it had exploded. He blew his mind out in a kiln. But that was because he didn't get all the air pockets out of it. I think I was more upset about it than he was, but that was the end of his project. Now, after you wedge the clay and work to get all of these air pockets out, the next thing you do is you make it into a ball, and you kind of throw it onto the potter's wheel. And the potter starts to work with that clay to center it. The potter wants it to be centered on that wheel. If you don't center it on the wheel, it's going to be kind of wobbly. And if you start to work with it and form something, whatever you're forming can become wobbly or unstable or marred. So you want to center it. And then you'll notice, you saw it in the video, the potter adds water to it. He keeps it moist so it continues to be pliable, moldable. You can continue to work with it. So he keeps adding water to it and has it centered and he's working with it. And then an experienced potter can make some amazing, beautiful vessels, pottery, useful items as he works with that clay. Well, Jeremiah was a prophet of God, and he was known as the weeping prophet, because he had a rough time, poor old Jeremiah. And he was God's prophet during the reign of the last five kings of Judah, right up until the time that Babylon destroyed the city. And he tried to warn the people that if they didn't seek God and obey God, that God was going to cause their city to be captured and they were going to be taken into captivity. And so he tried to warn the people, but it didn't usually go very well for Jeremiah. As a matter of fact, he was beaten, he was imprisoned, he was thrown into a muddy cistern. His writings were cut up and even burned. And although he sometimes wept, Jeremiah was always, always faithful to God. And through him, God introduced or promised, made a promise that he would establish this new covenant, that it was fulfilled later on in Jesus Christ, that there would be this sacrifice of the Messiah that would forgive our sins. Now, under the old covenant, you had to keep laws, you had to keep rules, you had to keep commands, specifically the Ten Commandments, but more and more laws were being added, and it became impossible to keep all of these laws and all these commands. And so this sacrificial system was put into place where an innocent lamb would be taken. Symbolically, the sins of the people would be placed on that lamb, and that lamb would be slaughtered, sacrificed. But that had to be done over and over and over again because an animal couldn't take away our sins. It was a symbol of something that was to come. And so over and over again, that animal had to be sacrificed. But under the new covenant, Jesus, who is called the Lamb of God, he was sacrificed once and for all. And he didn't have to sacrifice for his own sins because he was sinless. And he didn't have to be sacrificed over and over again. He only had to be sacrificed once. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27. Unlike those other high priests, he, meaning Jesus, does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They had to offer sacrifices for their own sins first, and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all. When he offered himself as a sacrifice for the people's sins, it was once and for all. Now, often when we think of a prophet, we think of someone who tells the future. And that might be part of it. And certainly Jeremiah warned the people of the future, what was going to happen if they didn't seek and obey God. But a prophet's main function is to hear a word from God, hear a message from God, and then share that message with the people that God wants him to share it with. You know, in a sense, that's what we all should be doing. Hearing from God's word, hearing from the Bible, and then living it and sharing it with others. The way that we live and the things that we say, it would be shared with others. But this is how Jeremiah would serve the Lord. He'd get a message from the Lord, and then he'd share it with the people that God wanted him to share it with. And one day, God decided to use this illustration of a potter and the clay working on the potter's wheel. And so he said to him that one day, the Lord said to Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house, and when you get there, I'm going to speak to you there. A message that I want you to give. You know, I remember one time the Lord spoke to me in the same way. The Lord said, I want you to go down to the potter's house. Well, we had a couple in the church at the time, an elderly couple. The last name was the Potters. They were probably in their 90s or whatever. So I went down to the potter's house. The Lord told me I should go to the potter's house that particular day, and I went down there. And when I got there, Mr. Potter was sitting in a chair. And although he was in this chair, he was kind of like rocking back and forth in this chair, you know, kind of like this. And I said, Lou, what are you doing? He said, I've been trying to get out of this chair for 20 years. I needed help, and that's why the Lord told me to come here. So I said, Lou, sure, certainly, I'll help you. So I went over and I put my arm under Lou's arm. And I said, okay, Lou, you're ready? We'll count to three. And it was like one, two, three, and I got him up. And now Lou could do what he had to do. It was so important. And so I looked at him and I said, all right, Lou, you know, what did you have to do? Where do you have to go? And Lou looked at me and he said, I don't know. So I don't know really exactly why I was there that day, but Jeremiah did what he was told. So he went to the potter's house. And when he got there, he found the potter working at his wheel. And he noticed that the jar that he was working on, or the vessel that he was working on, that it wasn't really turning out the way that the potter had hoped that it would turn out. And so he noticed that the potter pushed it back down and made it into just a lump of clay again so he could start over. I want you to notice that he didn't throw it away. He pushed it down, and then he started working on it again. And then the Lord, he gave this message to Jeremiah. He said, O Israel, O people of God, can I not do to you as the potter has done to this clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. And quickly we realize that the story of the potter and the clay has powerful spiritual implications for all of us. God is the potter, forming the clay the way that he feels, the way that he wants to, according to his purposes and plans. The clay is Israel, or God's people. And even the wheel has significance, because the wheel represents the circumstances or the processes of life that God uses as he's forming us. And I believe that every person is involved in this illustration, because God has a purpose for every plant, every person. God has a purpose for every person, every nation. And so this story is for all of us. All of us are in the hands of, what an encouraging thing to know, that all of us are in the hands of God. God is the potter. We're the clay. We're in his hands. He's forming us as he wants us to be. And the lesson has two parts to it, actually. One is the sovereignty of God. It says, God says, can I not do to you as the potter does to the clay? I am the Lord. He is sovereign. Well, I could do what I want to do with the clay. But then there's another part to this story, to this lesson. And it's the free will that we have. And you could see that in the response of the clay. It doesn't come out the way that the Lord had hoped, the way that the potter had hoped. And so there's these two lessons here, the sovereignty of God and yet the free will of men and women. And perhaps you could see that more clearly in other sections of Scripture, because the story of the potter and or this illustration of the potter and the clay is seen in other Scriptures in the Bible as well, not just here in Jeremiah. So let's look at one of them. It's in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. And it says, what sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, stop, you're doing it all wrong? Does the pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be? As I said, I've never worked with clay on a potter's wheel, but I don't know anyone who has worked with clay who has ever said that the clay told them what it wanted to do and what it wanted to be. I never heard anyone say that. We are the clay, but we are clay with a will. And sometimes we don't follow God's wonderful plan for our lives. We have our own free will. But understand this. Understand this. God will never throw you away. He will never give up on you. He might have to crush you. He might have to add water to you. He might have to work a little rough with you, but he will never, ever throw you away. He will never give up on you. He will continue to work to mold you into what he knows is best for you. So today I want to about clay, and clay that God has a rough time sometimes with, you know, the kind of clay that he has to work with to change or to work with so that that clay can be molded into what he wants it to be. But there's some clay that he has a problem with, and here's one of them. One of them is clay that is hard and dry. When clay becomes hard and dry, you can't do anything with it. Maybe some of you have been soft and moldable in the past, but over a period of time, we've allowed our spiritual lives to dry up. And when our hearts become hard and dry, nothing can penetrate. And there are people who, you know, can come to church and hear a biblical message preached, but it has no effect on their lives anymore. It reminds me of the seed that Jesus talked about in his parable, seed that falls on hard ground or a hard heart, where the enemy can come as soon as that word is, as soon as that seed goes on that hard ground, you know, the enemy comes and can just take it before it takes any root. It's kind of the same thing. We close ourselves off from spiritual truth, and the master potter can no longer shape us into what he wants us to be. And there's only one way to fix that kind of clay so that it can be used again. It has to be completely crushed. It has to be completely crushed, and the process of molding has to start all over again. You kind of have to go back to square one and start all over again. And that's what God sometimes will do in our lives. He'll come and he'll do whatever he has to do to bring us back to a place where we say, God, start over. Work in my life again. He wants you to come back home. He wants to be able to work in your life. The next kind of clay that God has problems using is clay that lacks moisture. Clay that lacks moisture is clay that can't be shaped, it can't be used. If it can't be shaped, it can't be used. Builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burnt up, the builder will suffer a great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. You don't want to be saved by the skin of your teeth, right? No. But there are many believers who are not allowing, perhaps have never allowed, the potter to mold them. They've invested their lives into temporary things, into worldly things. They've invested in bringing satisfaction to themselves here on earth. And again, they could be people who go to church and love God and love salvation. They believe in salvation. They participate in worship. But that's as far as it goes. They've never really surrendered their will completely to God. And God can't do anything with them. They have to be softened up. And so you might say to me, well, I want to be molded by God. I want to be moldable by God. So what can I do? Well, here's the question. What makes the clay soft? Water. Water has to be added to it. And all throughout Scripture, water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Take, for example, John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. Where Jesus says, anyone who believes in me may come and will flow from his heart. And then the scripture goes on to explain that when Jesus said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone who believes in him. So if you want to become something soft and workable for God, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. You must begin to yield your life to the Spirit of God. You must listen to conviction. You must be willing to give up all to the potter. If you want to be softened, you have to say, Lord, come and begin to pour your Holy Spirit over me and take control of my life. One way that you can see if you fit into this category is to ask the question, what am I doing for the kingdom of God? Because the more yielded one is, the more one does for the kingdom. We look at the third type of clay that God has problems using, and it's clay with hidden error or hidden sin. It's like the sculpture of Lenin that exploded in the oven. I could show you a vessel. They have just enough of a relationship with God to know that they're forgiven, to know that they're saved. And they do just enough just to make sure that they'll be saved when Christ returns. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already laid, Jesus Christ. But then you have to build on that foundation. Anyone who builds on the foundation of Jesus Christ can use a variety of materials. You could use things like gold and silver and jewels, or you could use wood and hay and straw. But on judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burnt up, the builder will suffer a great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. You don't want to be saved by the skin of your teeth, right? No. But there are many believers who are not allowing, perhaps have never allowed, the potter to mold them. They've invested their lives into temporary things, into worldly things. They've invested in bringing satisfaction to themselves here on earth. And again, they could be people who go to church and love God and love salvation. They believe in salvation. They participate in worship. But that's as far as it goes. They've never really surrendered their will completely to God. And God can't do anything with them. They have to be softened up. And so you might say to me, well, I want to be molded by God. I want to be moldable by God. So what can I do? Well, here's the question. What makes the clay soft? Water. Water has to be added to it. And all throughout Scripture, water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Take, for example, John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, where Jesus says, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the Scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And then the Scripture goes on to explain that when Jesus said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone who believes in him. So if you want to become something soft and workable for God, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. You must begin to yield your life to the Spirit of God. You must listen to conviction. You must be willing to give up all to the potter. If you want to be softened, you have to say, Lord, come and begin to pour your Holy Spirit over me and take control of my life. One way that you can see if you fit into this category is to ask the question, what am I doing for the kingdom of God? Because the more yielded one is, the more one does for the kingdom. We look at the third type of clay that God has problems using, and it's clay with hidden error or hidden sin. It's like the sculpture of Lenin that exploded in the oven. I could show you a vessel that went through the whole process just fine. It went through the process just fine. The potter threw it on the wheel. It was centered. He completed it. And it looks beautiful. But the final test is always whether or not the clay is pure by how it reacts in the fire. Only the fire can reveal this last defect. And every now and then, some clay has some hidden air pockets. You can't see them. You can't feel them. But when the potter puts the clay in the fire and he heats it up, that air that's trapped in between expands and explodes the vessel made of clay. And it's no different with us. Many Christians appear to have it all together. They know all the right words to say. They may even be involved in ministry. To look at them, you might think that person really loves God. They look like a finished vessel. But those individuals know that deep in their lives, there are some hidden pockets of sin that haven't been exposed to anyone. And no one else can see them, but they're there. It's called hidden sin. And it could be anything. It could be lust, pornography. It could be anger. It could be a lack of integrity. It could be drinking, drugs. When God begins to turn up the fire, hidden things are revealed. And if they're not revealed now, they will be eventually. And God has his way of turning up the fire in our lives because he loves us. Because he loves us. And if you have hidden sin in you, you're a vessel that God cannot use until you confess it and turn from it. Here's what it says in Psalm 32:5. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt was gone. Again, in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Hidden sin is nothing to play with. Hear me. Hidden sin is nothing to play with. This is why Jesus constantly called the Pharisees hypocrites. Because on the outside, they look good, a polished vessel. But on the inside, they were full of hidden sin. And maybe you fooled other people around you. You may have been able to fool people around you, but you will never fool God. But here's God's promise to you. 1 John 1:8 and 9. If we claim to have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But, oh, that's always a glorious word, or usually it's a glorious word in the Bible. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. God wants to mold you into a vessel he can use. God wants to mold you into a vessel that will give your life purpose and give him glory. So put your life in the hands of the potter and let him mold you into what he wants you to be. Let's pray together. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will while I am waited, waiting and yielded and still. Let the Lord speak to you today. What does he need to do in your life? If you would please stand with me. I know the Lord is speaking to hearts today. Maybe he's saying, you feel like I've been heavy on you, I'm almost breaking you down. I need to start over with you, and I want to start over with you. Would you come home to me? Would you allow me once again to work in your life? I know he's saying to some, you've given me your life, but you haven't given me your life completely. You have to be yielded to me completely, filled with my spirit, moldable, teachable. There are some things that get in the way. They might be good things, but they're getting in the way. The Lord might be saying, you know that hidden sin in your life. You need to confess it. You need to be willing to turn from it. It gets in the way of you serving me. The Lord is faithful. He will not give up on you. He'll continue to draw you to himself. We thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Please consider taking home those inserts and looking at that scripture again this week and thinking about some of the questions that might be on that. God wants you to be centered on him. I'm going to ask Pastor Nick if he would come and pray a blessing over us and dismiss us.
Well, we've heard the word of the Lord. It's up to you what to do with it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you care about us so much, that you've given us all kinds of examples in your word of your love for us, your willingness to use us, and how you want to mold us and shape us into the vessel that you really want us to be. Pray today, Lord, that the word we've heard takes root in our hearts, motivates us to want to be closer to you. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each one that's here, that has heard your word today. Be with us as we go out into the world this week. Help us to represent you well. Continue to work in our lives and our hearts and get down to the root so that we might be able to fully yield to your will. Bless us with your peace and your presence as we go, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Centered, he completed it.